Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Bob Cusk is here, too. Bob has become a great member of our Brain Trust over the last 10 years. Almost 10 years. That's right, folks. He's the founder and the president of Fusion Factor. Also, HRAuto.org. He's the author of a couple of great books, Building Competency for Profitable Workforces and Playing Tomorrow's Workforce Today, and The Higher Ground, An Insider's Guide to Finding a Career. He's formerly the King Biscuit in charge of HR over at Gillette, and now he's ours. Bob Cusco, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Almost.
It seems like so much fun.
Well, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
That's right.
Hey, Bob, I was just telling the audience that one of the things I know about them over the last 8 years, is if they're still opening their doors, the doors of their business, after all this time, all the stuff we've had to deal with since the recession, they've learned how to be productive. Because if they hadn't, they wouldn't still be in business. But what I'm pointing out to them is they're going to have a new challenge. Now, it's going to be a happy challenge because the challenge is going to be more business. We're getting ready to go from recovery to expansion in 0 to 60. And that means that we're going to have to find new ways to be productive while continuing to be frugal and to be good managers. What do you think?
I absolutely agree, Jim. And when you think about it this way, as we go into this expansion, if, you know, business is good for you, you're taking in more money because you've got more sales and more things going on. You then need to figure out how do you expand your resources, and it's easy to do on one side. You know, you can buy new equipment, you can build new buildings, you can acquire new businesses, but one of the hardest things we're going to have going on is people, because mm-hmm. there's limited resources in what's available out
there.
That's
right. Even though they say unemployment is low, the truth is those aren't good numbers. There are still a lot of people out there who aren't working. But that doesn't mean, A, that they want to work, that now after all this time they actually want to go back, or maybe even that they might not mean they're employable, Bob, right? Number one. And number two, it doesn't mean that they're qualified.
That's right. Jim, this could be deja vu for me, because in 1989, I was the head of human resources for a 4,000-person factory, and we hit 2.9% unemployment here in Massachusetts.
Wow.
At the same time, I hired 2,000 people in 1 year.
Wow. How'd you do that?
We could not get them. We rolled out every particular technique we could, and there were just some people that didn't want to work.
They just wouldn't come to work.
No. So you have to be very sensitive to, number one, what does my workforce look like, and how do I keep them in place and highly productive?
Right. Well, and I'll tell you something else. You can't have that conversation without including the technology people, the IT people.
That's right.
Because today, even all the way down to small business, productivity is a human resources / technology discipline, isn't it?
Yeah, Jim. I tell my CEOs, look at your finance department, your IT department, and your HR department are married at the hip. Mm-hmm. One manages your financial resources, one manages your data, and one manages your people. But guess what? The one that they pay least attention to.
Which one?
People.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No,
yeah.
It's because we look around and people are going to work. They're moving around. They're doing stuff, and we're thinking, hey, why should I mess with that? It's good.
Yeah, we make assumptions.
Yeah. There you go.
And the first item on my list is you got to check and recheck all the time.
Don't make assumptions.
And how do you do that? You do it by, walking around and talking to your people.
Management by walking around. MBWA, you got it right there.
Exactly. Some companies do it formally. They do what they call skip-level meetings, where the manager won't talk to the manager below him, but he'll skip below that person and say, hey, I want to talk to your accountant or your or your technician.
Going right around the org chart, huh?
Yep. Now, I'll give you a situation I had recently with one of my larger clients. They had for years done focus group in their warehouses and distribution centers to make sure everybody was happy, and they stopped doing them. And they got a union drive in one of one of their warehouses.
Wow. Big mistake.
Yeah, so you need to always, don't make assumptions about your people, always be checking on them.
Just because your people show up, this is one of the biggest, one of the most seductive things that can happen to us. We think because people show up on time, go to work every day, that year after year, they're just like us. They're still as excited about things as we are. The truth is, it's not their business. It's your business. It's not theirs. They may love you. They may like doing what they're doing, but things change, don't they? You got
to. Yeah, here's another change that's going to come with this expansion, Jim. A guy that's been sitting there saying, gee, I'd really like to look for a new job. I don't like my boss, or I wish I could get more pay. He wouldn't do anything over the last 5, 6, 7 years because of the uncertainty.
That's right.
And now you're going to see greater velocity in the employment movement.
Poaching.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're going to be, if you've got good people, so here, can we say this, Bob? If you got a good person or two good people or three good people, however many good people you got, expect someone to try to poach them from you.
That's right.
And you better play offense right now instead of defense later.
And start thinking about, if I lose that one guy, what does that mean to my business? Maybe he's my top designer or my top manager or whatever he is.
Or sales.
Yep. Yep.
So what do you do? What do you do about that? What do you say? Okay, I need to be preemptive there. I need to talk to that person, make sure they're happy. What should I say? Look, you're going to get offers. I don't want you to go anywhere. You know, if you get an offer, let me know. How should you handle that?
Well, what you need to think about is what motivates people, and there's different motivators for every person. And don't assume that it's all about money, although it can be.
Mm-hmm.
What I usually say is, money is a satisfier, but you got to find out the individual motivators. Maybe it's status. Maybe a person wants a title. You know, maybe mm-hmm. there's some need. Maybe they need more time with their family. What you need to think about with motivators is different people in different groups have different needs. So, for instance, we talk about the millennials today, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're more interested in time off. They're more interested in doing community work.
Yeah.
So maybe you find a way to meet that need.
Interesting. Or maybe one of your people says, I want to do something different, boss. You got another job I can do?
I'll look around the organization and find a job for that person if they're a good person.
I need your website quickly, Bob.
It's thefusionfactor.com.
Check it out. Quick break, 20 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.